As far as types of planets go, our solar system is fairly diverse. We have two gas giants, one with a prominent ring system, two ice giants, and even a planet close enough to the sun to be outside the sun's habitable zone for being too close. And of course, three other rocky worlds, including Earth, all of which at some time had liquid water on their surfaces. And that does not get into the moons, where liquid water is also apparently rather abundant, locked under shells of ice. Studying all of these worlds close up is important to exobiology because it tells us what some of these exoplanets we're finding could be like. There are probably other Venuses out there nearly indistinguishable from our own, suffering the same runaway greenhouse effect, as there are likely lots of Jupiter and Saturn analogs and so on. But the most interesting of the planets, Earth, is the planet we'd most like to see an analog of, as it could well be inhabited. But there are also other types of planets that we do not have, the most important of which is a super-Earth, which could also be habitable, or at least certain ones. Super-Earths are defined somewhat ambiguously, though. The concept is based on the mass of the planet rather than its surface conditions, which could be anything from rocky, like Earth, to a sort of mini-Neptune that's nothing like Earth. There is no consensus yet how to subdivide these planets up, nor is there a consensus on the size of planet needed to be called a super-Earth. I tend to favor restricting the term super-Earth to Earth-like rocky planets, since it doesn't really make much sense using the term Earth when discussing a miniature Uranus. As to size, all you can really say is larger than Earth and no bigger than 10 Earth masses. We're most interested in the Earth analogs, ones that have a rocky surface and an atmosphere something like our own planet, just a bit larger. What would such a planet be like? How would those differences affect life that might develop on those worlds? The short answer is that it depends on just how big the planet is. One of the leading solutions to the Fermi paradox is called the rare Earth hypothesis. This concept suggests that Earth is extremely special and possesses a number of attributes that are just so that complex life and a civilization can arise here. Without those attributes, which range from everything from possessing a moon and tides to plate tectonics, life might not have been able to get much past the microbial state, which would suggest that intelligence is rare in the universe because the conditions of Earth are rare. While somewhat of a bummer of a solution for those hoping for a galaxy inhabited by many different civilizations, it can also go the opposite way. There may be worlds in this galaxy that are better at producing complex life and civilizations than Earth is. This is where the super-Earths come in. It's thought that if you had a planet twice the mass of Earth, but similar in all other ways with liquid water and so on, it might actually be a better environment for life to arise. There are several reasons for this. The higher gravity of such a planet would cause it to retain a thicker atmosphere. This is important because planetary atmospheres help shield the surface from harmful cosmic rays. But there's another advantage. A larger planet would also generate, assuming its internal structure is similar to Earth, a more powerful magnetic field. Life on Earth could not exist as we know it without our magnetic field because it shields us from the solar wind. If you have a stronger magnetic field, you have more shielding. Increased surface gravity would do other things. It would cause the topography of the planet to be significantly flatter overall than Earth's. This would be compounded by higher surface erosion rates. Imagine such a planet as an ocean world, with waters that are a bit calmer than here, possibly with small continents or groups of islands that are low in profile, but ideal for life to use, as it happened here. And there's another advantage. A planet twice the size of Earth would retain more heat internally, which could drive plate tectonics significantly longer than it will last here on Earth. We don't know how long that will be for Earth. The Earth's interior is not completely understood in that regard. And in fact, there's some evidence that suggests that in the past the plates ground to a complete halt for a time, and may do so again in the future, only to start up again when something gives. That doesn't sound good. But I digress. Let's assume our hypothetical planet is like Earth, where plate tectonics are vital to complex life and atmospheric composition through the carbon cycle. Time is good for life, especially intelligent life, so if you had just such a super-Earth orbiting a long-lived stable star such as an orange dwarf, within the habitable zone where liquid water is possible, all providing stability for developing life, then you might just outdo Earth in conduciveness for the process. Well, we're proof that the magic of intelligence can happen on a perhaps imperfect world, so who knows what else might be out there. One can only imagine what life on a planet twice the mass of Earth might look like. Would the higher gravity produce squat but very muscular and stocky beings? Would the lower light levels of the orange dwarf make for very big eyes? It's fun to think about and imagine, but nothing really is known about what alien life would look like. You can only conjecture and make a lot of assumptions when doing so. But we do know this. Gravity eventually stops being an advantage. The bigger you make your Earth-like planet, the less Earth-like it becomes. You get thicker and thicker atmospheres with crushingly high atmospheric pressures and gravity so strong that very high energy is needed to even move, and many other factors would come into play. Your planet may no longer allow for land or islands, and instead favor a full water world with a shallow, calm ocean covering the entire planet. This is not good for an intelligence should it arise on such a world. Too much water could be just as bad as no water at all in regards to the development of a civilization, but I'll save that for a future video. Thanks for listening. I am science fiction author and futurist John Michael Cotier, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.